Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. It is a real pleasure to welcome members and friends of the fellowship here, representatives from many other local churches, and family, friends, and colleagues of Martin and Sandra to celebrate Martin's formal induction into the pastorate here at Underhill. Our service will be led by Reverend Josh Kane, who's a regional minister from London Baptists. And we pray that as we worship and covenant together, God's name will be praised and lifted high in all we do. To begin our worship, some verses from Psalm 105. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Let's praise God and proclaim his name as we sing two worship songs. The first is a modern song, which some of you may not be familiar with, but Josh is going to lead us on the guitar. Praise him, you heavens and all that's above. Let the whole earth praise him. Great in power, great in glory, King over all the earth. Please stand if you're able.
Praise him, you heavens and all that's above. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole us. Praise him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise him. Great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, heaven, great in battle, great in wonder, great in Zion, King over all the earth.
Let's sing that again.
Praise him, you heavens and all that's above. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. Praise him, the sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the
see the stars, I hear.
sings my soul, my Savior God to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then shall I bow in humble adoration and there sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How
good afternoon. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor came from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Let us pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. For your word is truth and it is power. And Father, we thank you that we're able to come into your presence this afternoon on this special occasion. We thank you, Lord, for the high calling that you have placed on our hearts as your disciples to be salt and light, spirit and truth in a world that definitely needs your grace, your hope, your healing, and your salvation. Father God, we thank you for this day, for this act of induction. And pray, Lord, for Martin and Sandra as they continue their ministry here. We pray, Lord, in this act of worship, that there will be no barriers between us and yourself. Take away, Lord, any hindrances. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, and help us, Lord, that there be nothing in between us, Lord, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, in your risen power, by the power of your Holy Spirit, take your place amongst us this afternoon. For we ask you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Saviour of the world. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Each one of you today, friends, you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for love and good works. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And we're here today because Martin has been called to work within the community of Christ, within that body of believers here under Hill Baptist Church. Now, with apologies to the other minister friends in the room, this is one of my favourite churches. A really, really rich fellowship here, a beautiful space where I'm just filled with excitement and hope for all that is to come. And I can't wait to see what God does as Martin and Sandra minister here and walk in this community. In our Baptist tradition, we don't set ministers above. They don't suddenly become a different category, a different species of human when they become ministers. But we recognize the calling of God on people's lives. We celebrate the obedience. We celebrate the way that Martin has heard that call and grown in his gifts, studied, trained, used what God has given him, fanned into flame that which the Spirit has endowed him with in order to bless churches and build God's kingdom in partnership with Jesus. So we don't set him above, but we recognize that gifting. We recognize that calling. We recognize that obedience, and we set him apart for ministry here, which is going to be a joy to do today. We come to affirm our belief that this church and this minister, they together have discerned Jesus' heart for this community and have felt that that calling is something that they share, is something that they're going to come together in. This has been a move of God's Spirit. And all of you today, you're here to witness the covenant promises that they are going to make together, church and minister, as they walk together as the people of God. So as we do that, we're going to start by hearing the story, hearing from Jill, the church secretary here, how they have journeyed and discerned the mind of Christ, hearing from Martin, how he has been obedient to God's call, and then we are going to witness together the church and minister making promises, making a covenant commitment to one another before we pray for Martin and invite the Holy Spirit to come and empower him for the task ahead. Are you excited by that? I'm really excited by that. I think it's going to be great. So can I invite Jill up, and she's going to start by sharing the first part of the story.
The last 3 years without a full-time pastor has been a time of both challenge and blessing for our fellowship here at Underhill. With a faithful, committed, but small and ageing membership, we needed to consider prayerfully what God was saying to us about the future. To help support us during this time, we were blessed when Pastor Ray, a church member and retired Baptist minister, agreed to become our interim minister, moderator, during this time of interregnum. We were aware of the challenges ahead, and that as a fellowship, we would need to be open to change and new ways of doing church. But we were also conscious that we were already seeing green shoots of renewal. God was bringing new people through our doors from different backgrounds and cultures, most of whom stayed to worship with us regularly. We had 5 new church members, some families with young children, plus teenagers and young adults. This all encouraged us that God still had work for us to do, and that it was right for us to move ahead under his guidance in seeking a new pastor to help us in our church life and mission. With support and advice from our regional minister, Josh, we drew together our church profile and finally submitted it to the Baptist Union Ministries team in the spring of last year. I have to say, we didn't really get much response through this official channel, but we knew that Josh was also working behind the scenes, doing a bit of matchmaking and mentioning our situation to those he thought might feel called to consider Underhill for their potential ministry. Last summer, he told us that he'd met with Martin, who was exploring where God was leading him next in his ministerial journey. Although he was experienced in church leadership, this had not been through the usual Baptist pathway. But during his time studying at Spurgeon's College, he had felt a strong call to Baptist pastoral ministry. Josh suggested we invited Martin to come and preach for us to help us get to know more about each other. We did this, and in September, were able to meet him and Sandra for the first time. Then in November, Martin met with the deacons for a more in-depth conversation. And after this, we felt it right to invite Martin to preach and lead another service for us at the beginning of December. And he also came and shared in one of our weekday Bible studies. Although Martin had followed a non-traditional route towards Baptist ministry and therefore would need to work through some administrative hurdles to become an accredited minister, we increasingly felt that God was leading Martin and Sandra to Underhill, and that this was the pathway that God was opening up for us. So with continued prayer, discussion, and support from Josh, the deacons felt Martin would have the calling, the commitment, and energy to help lead us forward, and we formally invited him to preach with a view at the end of February. After this service, church members and friends stayed on for an informal question and answer session with Martin and Sandra. Josh then led us in a time of reflection and feedback, during which many members and friends shared how they felt Martin was the person God was calling to help us grow as a church, develop our gifts, and become more effective in reaching out to our local community. And finally, at a special church meeting, church members voted overwhelmingly to call Martin as our new full-time pastor. And thankfully, he was pleased to accept our call. He officially started his ministry with us on the 1st of May, and though it's a learning curve for us all, we are just so pleased the way Martin and Sandra are settling in. I'm sure there will continue to be both challenges and blessings ahead, but as we approach our 90th church anniversary next year, we continue to trust in God's faithfulness and provision at the start of this new chapter of ministry at Underhill. And together with Martin, we are looking forward to the new things God has planned for us and are praying that we will all continue to be open to the leading of his Spirit as we continue to serve him faithfully, seeking to know Jesus and make him known in all we do.
I keep saying good morning to everyone, good afternoon. Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? First and foremost, I just want to say thank you to everyone that's attended, and I feel quite overwhelmed because I've got so many people here, some I know, some I don't know, but many friends from different places and, you know, in different ministries. And so, yeah, I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude, to be honest. So my story. So I was in ministry for quite a while. I had quite a radical conversion. I kind of liken my life to a bit like the Apostle Paul, where I kind of got saved and then kind of straight into practical ministry. Served right through from running house groups to a very powerful youth ministry. Ended up becoming an elder at the church we were raised in for many years. Ended up planting our own church. And so many various things that me and Sandra learnt. Oh my gosh, another hay seller. Sorry, I'm catching people as I'm looking. And so my life always was drawn by the fact that not having God and then finding God and realizing that he wanted to use me, I was always eager for him to get the best out of me. And I always felt like I kind of owed him, even though that wasn't true. I wanted to serve him. And God, in his goodness, always used me in many ways. And there were many people here that could give testimony to that by God's grace. But there was almost something missing, and because I had no secondary school education, and I didn't feel I was educated enough, which is quite backward, considering God was already using me very effectively. But I had to have a degree, and I need to have a degree. If I get a degree, I've done it, right? This is the feeling. And to be fair, I was always a massive fan of Spurgeon my whole life. And so a good friend of mine gave me like 5 volumes of Spurgeon's sermons. And so when I was looking for a Bible college, I wasn't going to go anywhere else but Spurgeon's. And the fact that Spurgeon was an Essex boy as well, I'll throw that in as well. And so I went to Spurgeon's, and just to do a degree for me, not to train for anything in particular, just so I could say I've got a degree. And actually, Linda, every time I look at Linda, and I'm so grateful for you, Linda, I remember one of our first conversations... It's God. He's probably going to correct me. Turn my call in back. He does that normally. He's been doing it for years. Like. Oh, gosh. This travels with me, by the way, this kind of stuff. So be used to it. Without going off story, so when I was in Spurgeon's and I was really trying to figure, because I wasn't academic by any means, but you know, I was very learned as someone who was scholarly in the word. I always tried to be quite grounded, and I remember talking to Linda one day about where I felt God was calling me. And anyway, I'll get to that story. So anyway, Linda looked at me one day. You probably remember this, Linda. And she said, well, maybe he wants to change the course of your ministry. And and you don't know this, Linda, but way back then, it was almost like a prophetic utterance where it kind of really hit me. And I was like, oh, you're doing it again. Am I going somewhere else now? And at that time, I was involved heavily in international ministry. So I'd been traveling around and I did a lot of ministry in recovery. So my true love really is helping those who are broken. That's my kind of bread and butter. I love to be with anyone that's broken and feels less than. And so I spent my life doing that while I was in between churches and trying to figure out where God wanted me. And it was studying at Spurgeon's where I did a paper on Baptist history and heritage. And coming from a non-Baptist, as Jill rightfully said, I had no real experience about what Baptist ministry was. I knew there was a thing called Baptist ministry. And when I did my paper on Baptist history and heritage, I fell in love with Baptist history and heritage. And I thought, I feel quite connected to this. I should have been doing that maybe most of my life. And so that was the shift for me as far as kind of moving into Baptist ministry. I've got a good friend here, Pastor Charles, whose church I was preaching in for years, which was a Baptist church. And also Audrey and your lovely mum, I'm not going to forget you, coming especially for me today. Thank you. Moved on. I left Spurgeon's, did better than I expected, was sitting at home one day. I'd kind of asked them, how do I explore this? What do I do? See your regional minister. What's that? There's a guy called a regional minister. Find him and present yourself. So I found Josh And I said, hey, I live in Haringey, and apparently you're my regional minister. And he's such a lovely guy, and I love Josh, because although he's a great guy and he's very learned and he's very experienced, he's a very humble, normal guy, the normal one. Well, you're not, but, you know, we can't say that here, right, because we know. Anyway, we met, and I had just the most amazing time, and we sat together, and we had breakfast, and we prayed. And between my time with Josh, I was sat at home one day, and I'd been involved in so much stuff ministerial. And for the first time in my life, I remember sitting in my living room, I remember where I was, and I was praying, and I just said to God, which is a scary prayer, I suppose, I said, I know I do lots of stuff, and I know you're happy with me doing lots of stuff, but what is it you want me to do? You know, not as if I haven't been listened to you already, but what is it you really want me to do? And I left it there. 2 days later, I get a text from Josh saying, hey, can we meet for breakfast? Okay, I wasn't putting the dots together. We sit down for breakfast, and before the food even comes, Josh says, look, I'm not going to mess about. I'm just going to tell you outright. There's this church he really loved, and he told me how much he loved it. And he'd been praying, and he said, I felt that God wants you to be the one to consider. And it was so funny, because you'd think I'd sit there and go, oh, okay. And I sat there, and I went, okay. And he's like, well, and I said, I've already prayed and asked, and the timing of this has to be God, because you didn't know I was praying. So I don't even want to know the details. Yes. And I'll let the rest fall on Underhill. And as Jill said, we came to Underhill, met them, and it was lovely. And the people are lovely. And Jill was, everyone here is so lovely. And we immediately felt comfortable. And so it was literally up to God. And I came, preached a few times, and they invited me back. So that was a good thing. That was all right. But no, and so when the vote came in, and it was quite unanimous, I felt very privileged. I still do, and feel very honoured. So I'm not saying this lightly. We used to joke in college, Rebecca knows and William know, in our pastoral group and Marvin, that I often spoke about taking over a church. And because of the person I am, they would sit there chuckling, imagining me literally taking over a church, like just going in. And so they'd been getting on to me for months saying, join us, join us, join us. I'm not lying, am I, right? So I finally joined them, and here I am. I think God is going to do something amazing here. I really do. And I say this humbly and carefully. Thankfully, Sandra and I have never been involved in any ministry that hasn't grown by God's grace, not anything to do with us. And so I truly believe that there's something about to happen here. And I'm a very small part of that by God's grace. And I think between myself, Josh, and the team here, I think, yeah, God is going to do something incredible, and I have every anticipation that's going to happen. That's the story, and so thank you. Thank you for listening.
So if you're a member of the church here on Underhill, and you're able, please stand. And follow the words on your sheet along with Martin.
Yeah. Oops, sorry. Did it?
All the way down to there.
And everyone's joining me in that.
Everyone's joining in the bold bits, yeah.
Right. Everyone knows the drill. The bold is you. Everything else is me. So today we stand with each other, recognising Christ in our midst, affirming our faith in the God who loves us with a love that transforms us. He calls us to work for a transformed world. Today we stand with each other, recognizing the gift of Christ to each other, affirming the calling of the Spirit who has brought us together this day. Today I bring myself and the gifts I have, and I covenant to serve and encourage this church and community, to respect and care for you, to journey with you, to take responsibility among you, to seek God with you, to listen to God in you, and to work with you to be Christ in this world. Today we bring ourselves and the gifts we have, and we covenant to serve and encourage this church and community to respect and care for each other, to take responsibility for the people we are and the people we hope to be in Christ, and to encourage you as we make this journey together. We are called to be a prophetic working for justice, resisting violence, and challenging the abuse of power. We are called to be an inclusive prejudice and welcome the stranger. Called to be a sacrificial people, risking uncertainty, becoming vulnerable, and reflecting the generosity of God. We are called to be a missionary people, demonstrating in word and action the redeeming love of God in the world. We are called to be a worshipping people, seeking and celebrating the God who journeys with us and open to the Spirit whole life. God of life, you call us and envision us. We give ourselves today to each other and to you, trusting that as you call us, so you covenant to share this journey with us, to nurture and sustain our life together, and to guide our paths. Amen.
Okay, can I invite now everyone to stand, if you're able. As friends and representatives of the wider church and community, we have heard this church and minister affirm their faith and make a covenant with each other and with God. If you will recognize this new and support this new relationship, then say with me. Today we stand with you, recognizing the commitment you have made, offering our encouragement for the challenges that lie ahead of you, and sharing in your hope for a new day. Amen. Okay, I'm going to invite the deacons, and I'm going to invite Sandra to come up as well. Oh, of course, most importantly, Sandra. I'm going to invite Ray, who's been the moderator. I'm going to invite Rupert, who's the district minister. And we're going to lay hands on this beautiful couple and pray for them. Do you want to stand a little bit in the middle?
Yeah.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come fill Martin and Sandra now.
Lord, as you come by your Spirit, there's an excitement welling up within us as we think about the beginning of this new chapter, this part of the journey. We've heard the stories and we feel the passion and the energy, and there's a sense of you already being at work and calling Martin, Sandra here. And Lord, we look forward to all that you will do in and through them. Father, in these moments, pour out your Spirit upon them afresh. Refresh them and re-energize them. Oh God, in these moments, may they be sure of who they are in you. May they be sure of their identity, of you holding them and loving them. And Father, as they embrace this community and as they embrace this church together, oh God, may they see your Spirit powerfully at work in this place. Father, may we see lives change. May we see lives born and renewed. May we see men, women, and children coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yes. Father, we hold that dream that Martin has, which he shared with us, and together with him we stand and we call on you to do that mighty work that you've been waiting to do in this place, which only you can do, O God.
Yes.
So this day, O God, we surrender ourselves before you, and we bring our brother and our sister in particular before you, the Spirit of the living God. You may come and fill them afresh, and so build God's church, using them as incredible ambassadors and agents of change in this place, that your kingdom may come and your will be done in the mighty and strong name of Jesus. Yes. Amen.
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 Father God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. And Father, we thank you for Martin and for Sandra and for their continued mission and ministry here at Underhill. Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord, to continue to strengthen them, to be with them, to guide them and to help them, Lord, and to give them, Lord, a fresh sense of your vision. Father God, it's all of you and nothing of us. Mm-hmm. Father, we're here to serve you. Yeah. So, Lord, we just ask that you continue to guide both Martin and Sandra. We love them, Lord, but you love them even more. Mm-hmm. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God, you love the world, and Father, we love you. And so we ask you, by your word, may be the center of Martin's ministry here. And may we always look to the cross. So, Lord, bless this couple, we pray. We lift them up to you now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Father God, bless them, we pray, with every spiritual blessing under heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father God, we affirm the calling on Martin and Sandra to this church, to this community, to be part of the beautiful work you're doing here, building your kingdom. We honour their obedience in following you, and we pray that you would equip them with everything they need for this ministry. Lord, would you strengthen them in heart, in character. Lord, would your providence and your blessing be upon them as a family. And Lord, would you give them the spiritual gifts they need to do the work that you have prepared for them here. Father God, I thank you that in your word it says that Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father in order that he might give his ascension gifts to the church. And in your beautiful, bonkers mystery, you have chosen those ascension gifts to be people, to be one another. And we believe that Martin and Sandra are your gifts here for this church. So we pray for fruitfulness in their ministry.
Amen.
God, I pray for that anointing that they have, particularly as pastors and as evangelists. Would you use that? Would you increase that gifting, Lord? Would you add further to this community here those gifts that are needed to fan into flame all that you would have them do? Lord, we just ask right now that as we are praying, you would be speaking to this church about what is next for them in this season, about where you are leading them, Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ and the church here at Underhill, in the name of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, I now declare that Martin Berry has been inducted into the pastorate of this church and congregation to work with them and they with him in the ministry to which Christ has called them all. I pray that you would lead this ministry into one of both fruitfulness and maturity. That there would be disciples who make disciples. That there would be witnesses to the good things of your gospel in this place. As a token of this, I now offer a hand of fellowship. So, this is it. This is the magic moment. There you go. There you go. Thank you. Very formal, isn't it? Very British way. Martin, Sandra, the covenant God binds you in grace and love. The faithful God keep you faithful through all things, and the God of hope and peace sustain you in the ways of Jesus this day and every day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Yeah, all right, here we go.
Are you going that way?
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Free?
No snap, no hat. That's what they say, isn't it? Wonderful. Okay, you can please be seated, friends. And we're going to have some greetings. So we're going to have Pastor Rupert again.
We're going to have Caroline on behalf of the churches here in Chipping Barnet, and Pastor Charles is going to come and offer some greetings as well. So if you just come up one after the other, that would be great. Thank you.
If I do it, I stayed up. I was asked. I did watch
the
program.
Is that old version of me?
I thought my mouth was big enough, but obviously this is the first time. This is the first for me. Not loud enough. Go to the microphone. Martin, Sandra. I don't think I've met you, Sandra, but Martin, we've certainly met, and I know you remember meeting me a while back. And we ate just recently, didn't we? And it was good. And there was a good taste of what is to come. Hey, that's a good pun, isn't it? And are we looking forward to it? We're a good bunch around here. We love Jesus, and we know you do. And we want to see kingdom come in this area, and we know you do. So we're looking forward to the ongoing partnership, because it's already begun, the ongoing partnership. Mm-hmm. You're going to be sharpening us, and we hope that we'll be sharpening you. Amen. Let's bring the kingdom. Yeah, amen?
Amen. Amen.
Welcome, bro. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Martin and Sandra, as the chair of Churches Together for Chipping Barnet, I want to welcome you on behalf of the churches to Underhill Baptist and to Barnet. Churches Together for Chipping Barnet is a group of 11 local churches. We seek to work together to spread the gospel within Barnet because we recognise that together we're stronger than individually. And we have quite a number of small churches within our group. Underhill Baptist is one of the small ones, but where you do punch above your weight. We are really grateful for the commitment of Underhill Baptist, and we know it's going to continue with you, Martin. So welcome to Barnet, welcome to Churches Together.
Thank you.
I wasn't going to say anything, and congratulations to both of you, Martin and Sandra, and everybody. I'm Charles, and I'm from Woodbury Down Baptist Church, and a small group came from our church. I was hoping to bring a whole bus, but such was the day that not everybody was able to make it. Well, what can I say? I think you've heard what you heard from Pastor Martin is very true. I've known him for about 20 years, maybe. He's been in our church in and out for many years. As you may have heard, he's been to so many ministries. He is good at bringing people into the church, but you must be very good at keeping them, because he can't do it on his own. And his wife is amazing in so many aspects. She's not only now a pastor's wife, which she has always been, but she's a great administrator, a great encourager, a great prayer, a great secretary. Anything. If you have any issues with Pastor Martin, talk to Sandra. She will know how to get things corrected or done. Because sometimes people don't want to talk to pastors when they see small faults or whatever. But speak to her. Linda, good to see you there. So what can I say? Be ready to see the church grow. And be ready to work with your pastor. And we have to give him the support that he needs to get this church going. You wait to see young people, older people, people from in and out of this life. Pastor Martin knows how to talk to these people. I think that's his great ministry, but I think God wants him to develop that ministry in the church. And so we give thanks to the Lord for this occasion. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. If you're able, please stand, and we're going to sing a song of worship together as we give our hearts to God. We're going to sing Waymaker.
many of us, Martin has many, many, many favourite portions of Scripture. But this afternoon, we're going to focus on 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, a verse that Martin has chosen. Chapter 5, verse 9. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. What does a minister look like? When I was first called to Middle East about 10 years ago this year, and I used to tell people, I am now the minister at your local church, they always used to respond in shock. Oh, but you're so young. And then I realised a couple of years ago that that doesn't happen anymore. Which comes to us all, doesn't it? Maybe you've got outward expectations of what a minister should be like. Most ministers dress in some form of garb that often originates in the 1800s. They're trying to be respectable to an old-fashioned audience. Maybe ministers nowadays should have a lanyard, because that's what most professionals have, right? If you're in teaching on the NHS, you have a lanyard, maybe a special golden lanyard for ministry. I don't know. But ministry isn't a costume or something we wear, is it? It's a calling. So maybe what a minister should look like is not outward things. Maybe when you're calling Martin to be a Baptist minister in a Baptist church here, you're expecting that he's going to preach like Spurgeon, that he's going to do mission like William Carey, that he's going to be an advocate for justice like Martin Luther King Jr. He's going to do some evangelism like Billy Graham. He's going to pioneer new ways and break down opportunities like Violet Hedger. He's going to be an incredible teacher on leadership like Kate Coleman. Maybe he's going to make loads of books and loads of money like Rick Warren. Who do you follow? Who do you follow? That's a question that doesn't just resonate in the church, but it resonates beyond the church, right? Because of our era of social media, our era of influencers, our era of politics and different movements. The letter to the Corinthians is written to answer this question, because it's a question that this community is wrestling with. Paul is poor, doesn't look impressive on the outside. He constantly gets in trouble, and he says in his letter that actually he's a pretty poor public speaker. In fact, the church have written to him and have said, please could you provide some letters of recommendation to endorse your ministry that we might listen to you? They've missed the point, haven't they? Paul says they've missed the point mostly because the people themselves are his letter. The work that God has done in their lives as he has ministered amongst them, their hearts themselves point to his ministry. And Paul further explains that the cross, it turns all of our ideas of success and who we might follow upside down. The character of God is shown in the cross. And the character of God is shown to be one of surrender, of sacrifice, of outpouring constant love, to be defined by love for others. And Paul says that this character that is revealed on the cross is to shape our way of life. And in the midst of Paul making this argument, we have this verse. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. That first part, it says to aspire, to be ambitious for, to make it our goal. Paul also uses the same word in Romans 15, verse 20. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known. It's something that we're centering our lives on. It's the defining principle, the central point of why we are here. What is that thing? What is that thing we should be ambitious for more than anything? Is it to see revival come in our church? Is it to do incredible feats for God? Is it to do incredible feats with God, to rebuild churches in amazing ways? Our goal, our ambition, the thing that we strive for, the thing that we center everything on is to please him. Martin, in this charge, I just want to remind you of something that you know. Ministry is not about pleasing yourself, and it's not about pleasing people. It is solely about pleasing him, to live for the delight of Jesus who loves you. to live in his love in such a way that it outpours in love to everyone that encounters you. And therefore, they get to experience the love of Jesus through the way that you love them. You live to please him. You start every day by saying, Lord, what are we going to do together today? What trouble shall we get into? In fact, I think that's what all of those great men and women of God, those Baptist leaders who've gone before us, bear witness to. That when we live lives wanting to please God, sometimes we go a very different path than those who've gone before us. And God does beautiful things through it. But then he says that our goal is to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. And what a reminder that is today. That ministry is not about the physical and tangible only. You've not come here to maintain a building. We delight in the rich history of our churches and their anniversaries and the generations of ministries that have gone in there, but you have not come to prop up a denomination. These are precious gifts and tools, our building, our people, our history, our connections and networks, our wider Baptist family, but let's be honest, they'll all pass away. And in the end, Jesus will renew heaven and earth, bring them together as one in his love. And we'll no longer see by the sun, moon, and stars, but we'll see by the light of his glory and love. And in that point, we'll go, Baptist who? Because we'll just be face to face with Jesus. We have an eternal house in heaven, and your job is to see the beginnings of it here in this place. And that comes with a very different perspective. So many of our churches, we're just a bit anxious right now. We're anxious about all the pressures on the world. We're anxious about the numbers, constantly eyeing if they're going up or down. We're anxious about our accounts, about all the things that we have to do. As basically, we've become these operators of these small charities with this huge burden and all this stuff. But we're not called to anxiety. We're called to please him. And pleasing him is centered in eternity. It's centered in that journey into all things that Jesus will bring us into. Paul doesn't end the letter here. He gives two more lessons. First of all, surrender. In chapter 8, verse 9 of this very same letter, he says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Be generous with your resources, with your lives, with your honor. You, Martin and Sandra, but you as a church, us as the wider church, let's be generous with what we have. Let's not hold back. Let's not let anxiety decide what we give, what we honor, who we lift up. But let's pour out everything we have for the sake of the gospel, friends. And the second thing is just as encouraging. It's about suffering. Paul carries on this letter. In chapter 12, verse 9, he talks about a contention that he has, and he asks for God to take it away. I'm sure there's better biblical scholars than me in the room who could talk about what this might be, whether it's polio or some illness, or whether it's just a really annoying deacon. You can see Malcolm for the biblical picture on that. But Paul says this, "God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" I think Jill's right. There's going to be good times and there's going to be bad times ahead in the ministry of this church. Because you know what? That's what life is like. Life is fair. It's rough on us all. And yet, in hardship, God does some of his most beautiful things, doesn't he? Paul is writing to a church that is distracted. That when they ask who they follow, they say, "I follow Apollos, I follow Paul." They're looking to the super apostles, as Paul calls them. And Paul says, don't look to the super apostles, but look at what God is doing through our suffering. What a message. How could we respond to that in any way other than each one of us, Martin, Sandra, but every single one of us here today, as disciples of Jesus, just to offer our heart to God once again and say, "Lord, spend me however you want to. Let me take part now in the things that are to come." Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the Heart of Worship together.
today's been absolutely... take a seat, everybody. Wow, that's so much to take in, and thank you so much, everybody that's taken part and everyone that's taken the time to come on this horrible, dreary Saturday. But I want to say thank you, and I'm very excited, and thank you for that word, Josh. It really touched me, and it's my favourite life verse for a reason. And I'm sure for everyone here too that we want to be, we want to make God pleased regardless. And I'm no different than anyone else. I want to make him happy. And if I achieve that, then that's my life's goal. And I'm sure it's the same for everyone. So I would like to pray for us. And after we close him, yes. And we're going to go through those doors over there. And there are lots of sandwiches and cakes being baked specially for today. There's one I've got my eye on, so I hope I get to it before you do. Sana said she'll make one at home, in just in case.
First should be last.
Yeah, yeah. Thing is, my experience is last means last. So that's yeah. So just stay seated. I'm going to pray for us to bless us as we depart. Father Lord, I thank you so much for today. And as we've heard from Josh, Father Lord, it's so true that Lord, you're in everything and through everything. Everything's for you. Father Lord, you saved us for yourself. And sometimes we forget that, Lord, that we think we're made just to serve you. When Jesus said himself that he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. Lord, you made us for you, that, Lord, you would be ours and that we would be yours. Help us, Lord, to not miss, Lord, that divine exchange and that precious moment, Lord, where you want to love us and you want us to love you. And you want to use us and you want us to draw on you. Help us, Lord, in all our doings, Lord, to not forget to be. Lord, we're human beings that you've created, not human doings. Father, Lord, help us as we finish up today and as we go our own ways, that, Lord, you would go with us, that your love would reside in us, and that, Father, Lord, everyone would leave here. Although it's a day for my induction, it's a day for us to celebrate you, and it's a day for us to take away from today things for ourselves from you. So, Father, I pray that that would happen, that every person would have a takeaway for themselves of a word that you've given, or a song that they've sung, or a prayer, Lord, that's touched their heart. And that's my prayer, Father, Lord, for them. Bless everyone here, Lord, take them to where they need to go safely. And Lord, bless them for their commitment today. That wasn't for me, Father, Lord, it was for you. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you because of your goodness that you will bless them. So, Father, as we depart, we thank you and we praise your holy name. And we ask, Lord, that this place, this church and the churches surrounding and around in this in the UK would be blessed, and we'd see change, and our hearts would be excited for the things that you're doing right now that are not televised. But if we would just listen and learn and see and perceive what you're doing, we'd be greatly encouraged, Lord, because you are very much alive and well today. Father, we praise you and we love you, and we ask now as we go, Lord, you'll go with us, and that our conversations would continue over refreshments. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you all, and it's so lovely to see everyone. And we can talk when we're in the next room, so bless you all. Thank you.
Just to say, we will need a few extra chairs out there, so if you're fit and active, if you can take a couple of chairs with you, that would be a help.